Yo, 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 what's up all you burner stoners and potheads? This is Weedman 420 with the Weedman 420 Chronicles. How are all you vipers doing out there, Mrs. Weedman?
Mr. Weedman.
How the hell are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, you are.
By a thread.
Hey, all you vipers out there, hopefully you're smoking some big fat doinks while you're listening to the show. And Mrs. Weedman and I'm getting normal. Mrs. Weedman is drinking on a drink that was given to us by a friend of ours from Minnesota, sent us some drinks called North Higher Vibes, and I'm sipping on a raspberry lemon, 5 milligrams of THC, 10 milligrams of CBD, lightly carbonated, 0 calories and 0 sugar. But while you're fooling around with that drink and telling everybody what's going on, I'm going to smoke some sour tangy that was given to me by our friend Bob at Bob's Exotics, because we got to see him over the weekend. I'm going to smoke while you talk.
Yeah, I am drinking the pineapple orange, which is did you say yours is the same? 5 milligrams THC, 10 yep. CBD, lightly yes. carbonated?
Yep.
It's pretty tasty.
Not bad.
I feel like I don't qualify as a taste tester anymore. I used to pride myself on my palate. And that's not the case anymore.
I still have a decent smell. My palate sucks. We've talked about that so many times, but it doesn't taste bad. It's good. I like it because it's not no sugar, no carbs, no calories. It's great. You gotta love that. We'll see how it kicks in during the show on you, Mrs. Weedman.
Yeah.
Very low, moderate THC dose, but we wanted to try it. There's a 10 milligram THC one I have a couple of too, but I wanted to try these first. So. This, though, is sour tangy that, like I said, I got from Bob's Exotics. And sour tangy is a sativa dominant hybrid. Mrs. Weedman loves when Mr. Weedman's on sativa. 80-20, strain created on the cross of the hugely popular East Coast Sour Diesel and tangy strains. Like its parent strains, this bud is most famous for its insanely mouthwatering flavor. Sour tangy has a smell of pungent sour citrus and has an earthy diesel bouquet as the bud is smoked. The taste is sour, earthy citrus and sharp, pungent diesel aftertaste. Boy, it's smoking up like crazy.
Did you roll that?
No, I did not. This was given to me by Bob from Bob's Exotics.
I recognize the papers. Mm-hmm. Those are the organic. Is it Bloom, the papers?
I have no idea.
I recognize that paper.
It's kind of colorful. Orangey, stripey. Yeah. Kind of looks like...
I'll be back. I'm going to show you.
So, as Mrs. Weedman's going, sour tangy buds have medium-sized grape-shaped dark olive green nugs with bright, surprisingly pink undertones, rich purple hairs, and a frosty layer of lavender hue fine crystal trichomes. The sour tangy high boasts a combination of indica sativa effects that are powered by relatively high THC levels that falls up to 22% on average. The high starts with an elevating head buzz that jolts you into motivated energy and slightly sense of focus. This head high is accompanied by a relaxing and warming body buzz. I love it. That lulls into a state of lethargy and ease that doesn't quite put you to sleep or cause couch lock. Because of these well-balanced effects, sour tangies is said to be the perfect for treating conditions such as chronic fatigue, mild to moderate cases of depression, chronic pain, and muscle spasms. Effects: body high, creative euphoria, happy. Relief symptoms of ADD, ADHD, arthritis, chronic pain, depression, fatigue, loss of appetite, migraines, muscle spasms, and stress. Flavors are citrus, diesel, orange, sweet, tangy. The smell was so citrusy and orangey. Aromas, diesel, earthy, lemon, pungent, sour, and spicy. So I'd like to thank Bob's Exotics. He's a good friend, and we get to see him at a lot of events. What is that one? Who is that by? Oh, look at you. Did you roll this then?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. I think you might have rolled this. I think I got the flower from Bob's Exotics, and you might have rolled this for me.
I was like, I've never seen anyone else use these papers.
That's how it is. I think that's what it was.
Well, if you are interested, they're very pretty papers. They're made by, we got these as a gift from a friend. They're made by Choice Blooms, and they're organic rolling papers. And they're printed with soy-based inks on hemp paper. They're pretty. They're just nice looking.
Tastes good. Yeah. Nice paper. It got a nice little ring here. Nice little O-ring, hash ring, I like to call it. And the papers are nice. I should have known you rolled this, though.
I rolled that?
Yeah, because I remember you gave it to me, and I put it in the jar with some just to keep it fresh for the show.
Oh.
So I totally forgot, but I know the strain was from Bob's Exotics. I was so high on Saturday, I could remember nothing. Like, I knew my name. And where we were on Saturday, Mrs. Weeman, where were we on Saturday?
We were at Blue Island Beer Company for the Supreme Spliff Sesh. So it was hosted by... it was a collaboration between Blue Island Beer Company, Spliff Society, and maybe...
I Smell Smoke?
No, I think...
there was a lot of smoke.
High Focus Media was,
oh, yeah.
That's was right. helping with them as well. So anyway, it was a... We talked about it, I think, a little bit on the last episode leading into it. It was a great event. There were DJs. I feel like it's a little redundant when I explain these events because they are kind of... similar things happening in each of the spaces, but it was a fantastic event. And once again, a almost entirely new audience of consumers. And that is really what I look forward to. I really, when I go to these events, when we are vending at these events, I just think that it's great when you see so many new faces because it means more people are hearing about these things happening and more people are getting out to consume with the community.
Socially.
Socially.
It's great.
So, very cool.
Yes, there was a lot of...
It was a great event.
It was a great... Lots of vendors that we all love and get and have a lot of fun with. Yeah, it was super cool. Got to see a lot of faces. Some people that I know that I've met. I'd like to thank Midwest Terps for sponsoring the table. He threw us some weed. People loved the Lake Effect and the Cherry, I think it was. I can't remember off the top of my head.
What Mr. Weedman is referring to is when we vend, we... are like a little pop-up shop, right? So we have our products out from Eight Decades. I have usually a rolling rack of our hemp clothing, a table with all of our hardware products. And then Mr. Weedman has a table set up to promote the podcast. And he sits with his rolling set and he rolls joints for people. If they...
And volcanoes.
If they come and engage in conversation and ask about our businesses and... we have some interaction with them, then we offer to roll them a joint. We're not selling any weed. We don't sell weed. We just have people who sometimes sponsor us and throw us some bud so that we can roll joints for people.
Yep.
And it's just to kind of create a friendly environment and make people feel like they can come spend time at our table. They don't have to shop. Obviously, we want them to shop. But we also want them to feel welcomed and feel like they're part of the community.
And have a nice experience. Yeah.
So Midwest Terps was our most recent sponsor,
yep.
And they came and hung out at the table with us for a bit and brought us some weed that we could contribute to the cause.
Mm-hmm. True.
And their weed is fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I went through three grinders.
Yeah.
Sticky, dicky, icky, and stinky, beautiful smells. People were enjoying the weed. It was a lot of fun because you had a choice when you came to the table, and you can either roll one yourself and use the tray, or you can have Mr. Weedman roll one, or you can do a volcano. I would say about 75% of the people wanted me to
roll you a joint. You can do it.
So what was fun, though, is that because to get people to understand that it's not just all about getting high is to learn about what you're smelling and what you're seeing and the effects and, you know, letting people choose between the two strains. We had glassware that had light going into it with a magnifying glass so people could look at the two strains that were offered and really see and then see what they wanted, and then they were able to open the jar up and let what you're supposed to do is let your nose do the work for you and see what your endocannabinoid system would like. And a lot of people loved the Lake Effect out of the two, people were digging that one. They both smelled fantastic. I was very high because every time someone would light a joint up after I rolled it, they would pass it to me. I'm like, yo, I'm good, man. So I felt it all the way to like Sunday till noon. Plus there was edibles. We made some edibles and bought them too, and people enjoyed that. We give that to all the vendors as a welcome to the show and to just to introduce ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. My favorite line I will take this all the time. If you ain't working, you ain't networking. Or if you ain't networking, you ain't working. right? That one. The second one. So I will live that line for the rest of my life because that taught me something. And
Mr. Weedman is much better at networking.
You got to set the table up. You got to get ready to go.
Yes, I know. I know. I do put all of our display together. And
yeah, I just have to get my little table together, which is just opening up my...
I'm getting all the table set up. You're out passing out edibles to everybody, making friends. And of course, nobody knows who I am. Story of my life.
Well, this time, you know what I'll do? I'll get my table. I have to wait for your table to be set up.
What I was getting at is that you are very much the face of the business. And I'm very much the back end of the business.
Say the backbone of the business. Yeah. You are the backbone of this.
I'm not in like the storage room sorting piles of inventory. I actually make big decisions.
Yes, you make about 95% of decisions.
I'm really good at all of that stuff.
Yes.
You're
the backbone of the company.
Big, giant personality 100%. That Mr. Weedman is.
But that's why you hired me. Sour Tangy is pretty good, Bob. You know? What else we got? Oh, we got a lot of stuff coming up. The 14th of April, Sunday, at I'll be high at noon. Brunch of Stoners. Mm-hmm. If you haven't gotten a ticket, you're missing out.
Yeah, they're sold out.
Sold out. So if you didn't get
if you didn't get a ticket,
yes.
Make sure next time
you get a ticket.
It's like every 2 months. So where do we go? We're in April. Yep. So May. I think the next one is in
June.
May.
I have no idea.
Anyway, go on their social media, go on their website, look them up, get on their newsletter. It's the only way that you get sent an invite to their events and that you can order tickets for their event.
Yep.
They are selling out faster and faster every time.
It's the 420 party. Even though they're going on the 14th, it's their 420.
Yeah.
Their 420 brunch, and we will be out in the tent. Mrs. Wee Man's got something special for y'all. The last time was a great vibe, and this time is going to be even vibier. And we'll have our nice table set up for joint rolling and experience. And I know we'll have a couple different strains from a couple different people. I'm kind of excited, not only just the weed sponsor for Brunch of Stoners, but that runs out pretty quick. But our friend Igneous is going to give us a couple of nugs to let people try.
Nice.
Super stoked. Nice. Super stoked. Great. Yes. We got to smell a lot of his weed and smoke a lot of his weed at on Saturday. So come if you didn't get a ticket and you have a ticket, come see us in the tent and hang out at Brunch of Stoners on the 14th.
Yes.
And then on the 420, mm-hmm. you can find us at Mrs. Weed Man is doing two pop-ups at Starbuds Riverside from 12 to 2. We'll be there. And then we'll be at Starbuds Burbank from 3 to 5. Probably 3:30 to 5:30. So
attached to Starbuds Burbank is a Wake and Bakery. Mm-hmm. So you can get some baked goods. You can get some weed. You can check out Eight Decades and Mr. Weedman. And then I think we've decided that we're going to spend the rest of 420 just enjoying ourselves. We're not going to go set up shop anywhere. We're not going to do any more promos for our brands. We are going to just go and actually enjoy 420.
Yes.
So we haven't decided which places we are going, places we're going to hop into, but we're going to be out there.
Yes.
So,
and then stay tuned for our 420 episode. It actually will be our 200th Weedman 420 Chronicles episode and our 5-year anniversary on 420 of 2024. And we have a special, special recording. I'm not going to tell you about it at all.
I was like, don't give it away. It's going to be great.
It's going to be
There will be video. There will be regular podcast platform audio.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a celebration.
I asked Mrs. Weedman the other night, like 3 or 4 nights ago. I said, do you think I did a little too much for this 5-year 200th episode? And you looked at me, you're like, yeah, but we'll get it done.
We always do.
Hey, listen, if it wasn't our 50th year or it was after our 50th year and it wasn't our 200th episode of doing this show, I mean, this has got to be a special one, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be. So, because all of you have been on the ride for 5 years. Someone said to me, your sister, Lala, said to me when I said, I was saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be recording our 5-year episode. She goes, 5 years? Holy shit. I can't believe it's been five. She couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years. On 420 this year, it'll be 5 years. And the Weed Man 420 Chronicles has been going on since 2018. So it's like crazy how long we've been running and gunning, you know, with the Instagram on 2018 to then the podcast until now. I mean, crazy.
It's been a minute.
So thank you all for the ride. Stay tuned for all of our antics. And like I said, make sure you come see Mrs. Weedman and I, though. We'll be out and about on 420 at both Starbuds, Riverside and Burbank. And come and see us. You'll be happy. You'll get to see Mrs. Weedman and I.
Well, I don't know.
maybe I'll take it. Maybe we'll go what we used to do when I worked for this other company. We used to take a ride in the car and go smoke and then pull back around because you can't smoke on dispensary properties. So you have to go take a ride in the car or go to the car or take a walk. Yeah.
Take a stroll.
Yes, 100%. So great. Get the show started.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. Can cannabis go green? Some say yes. And some say with new packaging. But here, I was talking to Big Earl, and some of you who listen to the Grow Hour, Big Earl, brother, Big Earl, man, we were talking the other day about going green, the industry and stuff like that. And I said, I used a line from Star Wars about the Chosen One. You were supposed to save the world. You were supposed to join us together and not destroy it. And the cannabis industry has not been doing a very good job. I'd be the first to say it. And probably not only the first, but probably not the last. We were supposed to be better than this. And there's some companies that do. I'm not busting everybody's chops.
I will just say, you across the board, there are a majority of products that overpackage their merchandise.
God, yes.
And in the cannabis industry, double that.
I give the cannabis...
Like double materials, like everything about packaging in the cannabis
industry.
Explain
what you do with your packaging.
Well, I just don't want to have... I want our products to be, with 8 Decades, our intention was to stomp the stigma, but also to create products that are kind of lifetime products and choose products that are lifetime products. I'm kind of old school. I mean, we are in our 50s. Younger generations don't think this way, maybe. I don't know. I'm not someone who wants to have to rebuy things 10 and 20 times. You spend the money, you get good product, and it's not about the packaging sometimes. And so with that in mind, obviously people like to see a pretty box and they like to see pretty packaging that can sometimes sell a product. But really what's important is the product. And so we invested our money into the product to make it hearty and beefy and strong and nice looking. And we keep the packaging super simple. Plain cardboard boxes that can be repurposed or can be recycled. There's a little bit of bubble wrap lately that I've been putting in things when I ship them. But it's the bubble wrap that our product comes from the manufacturer in. So I'm repurposing it. And then everything else is just I put it in a cloth bag. The cloth bag can be reused. All of the stuffing in the box is just stock. Unprinted stuff that can go right in your recycle bin. And so I just try to keep things simple and spend the money where it's important to the consumer, not on the packaging.
Yeah, I agree. All.
And that's like the difference is in the cannabis industry, it's all of these safety dynamics, right? But I mean, think about pharmaceuticals. When you pick up medication, they have a locking mechanism on those jars. And yes, it is all plastic, but it's not as heavyweight. Like dispensaries, you're getting like three buds in a substantial, heavy-weighted glass jar with a heavy-weighted plastic lid with heavy-weighted plastic stickers. And then they're in a box. And it's like, how much can you like put? You know, everything is just overpackaged.
Right.
It's so much waste. And then that is actually increasing the cost of the product to the consumer.
Right.
We already pay too much. Get rid of all this packaging. Make it simple. I wish it was like a butcher shop or a bulk thing where you could just go in and you bring your container and they could just fill it for you. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we see so
much.
You
said in Oklahoma it was like that, right? It was open.
Yeah, but they still give you no, there's some of it, some do deli style, some already have prepackaged, just depends. But they still give you a plastic jar. or a glass jar, they still give that. You just don't, you can't bring a reusable stuff because it has to be relabeled. They print a label out, just like in Michigan too. You know, it's deli style there. Some stores because are deli style. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's just,
well, someone has to get smart. There's a lot of smart people. And the crazy thing is everyone,
a lot of people started using Mylar bags.
Ugh.
Right. Exactly. So it's just as bad.
It's when your weed can taste like plastic.
Right. So, I mean, it's just between all of the waste, the hemp industry, we should be backing the hemp industry up. We should be backing as a cannabis.
Industrial hemp.
We should be going into the hemp industry that's dying right now because of government regulations and people are not buying to manufacture and purpose. You should be making deals with companies and having them make your stuff for you. It's recyclable.
Well,
it's
companies that are in packaging, if they don't do hemp, probably need different machinery to do hemp because it's a different material.
Right.
And so it's that whole, like, it's a new thing, right? And so they have to see a demand for it or a need for it.
But it's time to move away from cutting down trees. We don't need to cut down trees anymore. We have hemp. Mm-hmm. It's better for the environment. It's better for the soil. It repurposes, it fixes soil too. So start growing that. We also
hemp
need
and
to
bamboo.
Yeah, bamboo. But also, like, I was watching a video the other day I don't remember what ocean it was.
Bamboo? That's a real word.
Yes.
Every once in a while you just say a word and all of a sudden you're like, is that even a word? For the more you say the word, like, is that it? Yeah. Bamboo is a word.
Yes, bamboo. Bamboo.
It just sounded very strange.
Bamboo bamboozled you.
Yeah. It did today.
So I just think we need to do better. But I was watching a video and there was, it was an ocean. I don't remember which one. And it was a human being just walking on the plastic along the water for like a very long time. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, we can do so much better as humanity. And we don't. We let this keep on happening. And we let
microplastics are all over the ocean.
It's not in the ocean. We're eating it. We're drinking it. It's in our drinking water. We're done. I mean, it's a part of our system. There's nothing we can do about it now. I mean, it's going to take a very long time to clean this all up. Just is. There's so much trash. I mean,
it's like the world, we got so much better and then we got so much worse. You know, like if you think back to like the Great Depression and people were walking around in like swamp water and dirty streets and big, you know, like things were gross, right? Infrastructures weren't in place yet. Yeah, are you following me? No? Are you disagreeing?
You talked about the Great Depression?
Like back in the Great Depression and prior to that, like, you know,
I would say prior to that. I mean,
prior
it was,
to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say the 1800s.
Yeah, but the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Things weren't great. Roads were paved
and
things like that.
It was
that.
Starting to get
better.
Industrial Revolution was starting to happen.
Yes. Yeah. But things were really gross. Then things got really pretty good. And then the more we learned, we started to get better. And now I just feel like we're just, I don't know.
Everybody's turning an eye.
Yeah. Because the world has, and all of these problems have just become so big. Which ones do you fight? How do you fight them? Where do you get the funds to fight them? And yada, yada, yada. I think I just need to smoke some weed.
Do you want some?
No.
No?
I can't. I know. Not chancing.
I know.
So, yes. Do I want some? Yes.
So we need to embrace eco-friendly packaging as not only just for the cannabis industry, for all industries, but as the cannabis industry, we need to do a hell of a lot better. And we haven't. It's all about profit and margin. We need to do better as a community. We need to start telling these companies that we're not going to buy your product because of you're destroying what you said you protect. I give the cannabis industry, and this is my opinion, I give the cannabis industry on being eco-friendly and going green, I give it probably about a C. And other companies, I give, like, that we use stuff we use every day, probably a D.
We use a lot of clean products.
But there's a lot of companies that don't.
Right.
There's a lot of companies that don't make clean products or don't package it in clean products. We try to do the best we can, but there's a lot of companies that don't care because it's just about if they did, they would fix it. Mm-hmm. Right? So I give the whole industry a C. I'm sorry. I don't see it.
For environmental efforts.
Yes. Yeah. So... what is painsomnia?
Oh, you want to hear about it?
And can smoking weed help?
Yeah. Well, insomnia occurs in 30% of the population occasionally, but 10% have chronic sleep issues. Add in chronic pain and you have a recipe for disaster. What is painsomnia? Could cannabis help it? Painsomnia is a term describing how chronic pain can interfere with a person's sleep. While painsomnia is not a medical term, it is used anecdotally to describe a common challenge experienced by people living with ongoing chronic pain. Coined by Don Gibson and Dr. Ben Noel, painsomnia is the painful lack of sleep affecting many. It can also cause already established conditions to worsen. In a case study, Gibson and Noel explained how some individuals are actually woken up by pain and have trouble falling back asleep. I'm one of those. Yeah. Painsomnia is a patient-generated term for the vicious cycle of pain and sleep deprivation or fatigue related to a chronic condition or its treatment, they said. Evolving from social media discussions, painsomnia is a shorthand description that helps people relate to each other in posts about being prodded awake by pain and being unable to find a comfortable position in bed or to settle down for sleep and rest. Anxiety and frustration about lack of sleep and its impact on functioning the next day often accompany patients' painsomnia experiences and virtual discussions. There is clear evidence for cannabis improving sleep. Israeli scientists sought to better understand if cannabis could help chronic pain patients find the rest they need. In their study, published in the medical journal BMJ, about half of participants were medical marijuana users and half were not. They found that in the short term, cannabis quickly helped insomniac patients in the 128-person study fall asleep through the night. Studies have found that cannabis can be helpful in treating neuropathic pain. However, more research is needed to know whether it works better than other options to manage pain. In addition, cannabis may ease certain types of chronic pain, including pain due to nerve damage and inflammation. In dealing with painsomnia, both cannabis and CBD may help. There has been research, with more needed, to understand benefits of cannabis, especially around inflammation, chronic pain, and sleep. In regard to CBD, inflammation can be treated with it. Data shows CBD reduces the levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines, inhibits T-cell proliferation, induces T-cell apoptosis, and reduces migration and adhesion of immune cells. If you know someone suffering from painsomnia, suggest they talk to healthcare professionals. The American Sleep Apnea Association believes sleep is not only tied to health and work performance, but so much more. So, firsthand, I will tell you that it's miserable and terrible, and cannabis does help. And I have talked about this before on the show, and this is my theory. It may not be everyone's theory. It may not be scientifically the way it works, but I find that cannabis takes my mind off of the pain. I don't necessarily know or feel that it takes the pain away. It distracts me, or it allows me to relax enough that I'm not focusing on it. Because I will tell you, when you wake up in the middle of the night because you have pain in your joints and you cannot move in a position that makes it any better, there's nothing you can do. You're not sleeping. You're just tossing and turning, trying to find a spot, tossing and turning, trying to find a spot, tossing and turning. And then your mind starts spinning like, oh, great. Now tomorrow's going to suck because I'm going to be tired. And gee, what's going on with my health? So you start going in the spiral of thinking and being frustrated, and all you want to do is sleep. And cannabis in that situation helps. It really, really helps. So
thanks, cannabis.
Yeah. you know, does it make everything go away and make everything, you know, perfect? No, maybe I could consume even more of it. But I do have to function in the morning and go to work and do these things with my brain. And
I think you should keep a bowl by your table.
Yeah. Very that's nice, part of the problem. Like, sometimes you wake up and it's like, oh, I feel like whatever edible I took before bed has worn off.
Well, don't forget, you usually take your edible about 9:30
Yeah.
And you're waking up about 3:30 That's 6 hours. Right. That edible is
I usually
done.
Start stirring, like, yeah.
If you notice, I've been taking my edible right, like, when we walk upstairs
I've
now.
Been taking two edibles.
Well, that's fine. Take two. Take three.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You do have a high tolerance, though, so you might need to start taking 30. You know,
30 edibles.
Well, that, but 31 milligram edibles.
I know.
But yeah, you might. I mean, when you can start smoking again, or if you decide to start smoking again, we get you a vaporization one. And you just keep that by your bedside.
When you start tossing and turning, yeah. then you can just have something fast acting.
Yeah, we can't take the volcano. I mean, we could, but it'd be a pain in the ass. The volcano
I'm not
upstairs.
Turn the volcano on it. But I'm 4 o'clock in the morning.
Someone can recommend to us a really good one. I've had a couple cheapos and they sucked, the flower ones. So if anyone can recommend us a good electronic vaporization machine, let us know if Mrs. Weedman's ready. Actually, you know what you should do? That nebulizer you've been using, you should just put some weed in that and just suck the fuck out of that.
I don't think you can nebulize. That would be pretty fantastic.
Well, you probably could put some – I bet you could put some tincture in there.
I don't know.
Or you could put some hash rosin in there.
No, it can't be.
No?
Goopy.
It could be a liquid one. It'd be kind of funny watching you sit walk around with this thing over your fucking face like Darth Vader. Let's go. A citrusy smelling terpene of marijuana can reduce anxiety and paranoia caused by THC, federally funded study finds. A new study funded by the National Institute of Drug and Abuse NIDAS found that citrusy smelling terpene of marijuana can help ease anxiety and paranoia associated with THC. These findings, research say, could help unlock the maximum therapeutic benefits of THC and protect public health. Ooh. Published in the latest issue of Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence, new paper says that the subjects have vaporized the terpene D-limonene along with a dose of THC experienced less anxiety and paranoia compared to those who consume THC alone. Don't I always say lemon? When you're too high, you drink lemon water. Or take the rind but you can like get the oils and rub the oils on your finger and smell it or you know, try to get some oil and lick it. You know, that's going to help. Get that straight limonene. Zoom. Ratings of anxiety like subjective effects qualitatively decreased as D-limonene dose increased, the reports say. A concurrent administration of 30 milligrams of THC and 15 milligrams of D-limonene significantly reduced ratings of anxious, nervousness, and paranoid compared to with 30 milligrams of THC alone. I don't remember the essential oil I have upstairs, but it's very citrusy.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
And it's kind of helped me a lot. So the addition of D-limonene, which is found in many citrus fruits in addition to cannabis and smells like oranges, had little impact on other common acute subject cognitive or psychological effects of THC. Researchers found inhaling the vaporized terpene by itself, meanwhile, did not produce an acute effects that differ from placebo. The arrive at conclusions research had participants inhale vaporized D-limonene. Let me see that one. And I want to vaporize that D-limonene.
I feel like Vanna White today. I just keep going to get things. That.
Let me see. So this is called Mei Shang Chang. It's 100% pure essential oil.
Mei Chang.
And I forgot what the couple who we bought this from at one of the events we were at a while back ago. Oh my gosh. This stuff's it makes my eyes like tingle. Here.
Mei Chang.
What is that?
Great for sterilizing worktops. It boosts its effectiveness. Blend with tea tree. Say goodbye to fatigue and anxiety with Mei Chang essential oil. Maybe this isn't the right
I don't know,
description
but,
of it.
But limonene, D-limonene helps with anxiety. And this can possibly, if it has any kind of limonene in there. All I know is the reports say among the first clinical studies to demonstrate the validity of cannabis entourage effects with theorizes that THC and other constituents of the plant interact in meaningful ways that alter acute cannabis effects. That's awesome. Pharmaceutical formulations of THC such as dronabinol and chemical analogs of THC are already broadly approved for treating certain severe health conditions, they noted. However, the use of these medications is limited in part due to a narrow therapeutic index. Earlier this year, for example, a study looked at the collaborative interactions between cannabinoids, terpenes, flavonoids, and other molecules in the plant, concluding that it is better understanding of relationships of various chemical components. It is crucial for unraveling cannabis' complete therapeutic potential. Yes. Scientists last year also discovered previously unidentified cannabis compounds called flavorants that they believe are responsible for the unique aromas of different varieties of marijuana. Previously, many had thought terpenes alone were responsible for various smells produced by the plant. Don't forget esters, too. Esther, she's really nice. Similar phenomenon are also the beginning to be recorded around psychedelic plants and fungi, too. Don't forget, they said the finding is simply that mushrooms like cannabis demonstrates an entourage effect. Sweet. Go D-limonene, go cannabis, go holistic. Got any more info on that?
Yes.
Just tell
the
us about it.
The health benefits of Mei Cheng essential oil are extensive. It's known for its ability to boost immunity, relieve respiratory conditions, and act as a natural insect repellent. Its calming properties also make it effective in reducing anxiety and promoting restful sleep. It says that the story of this oil dates back centuries. It's rooted in the ancient traditions of Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine. It has been revered for its medicinal properties, often used to alleviate respiratory problems and improve digestion.
You should sniff that every hour if I was you.
It promotes mental clarity and emotional balance.
Yeah. Well, when I was when I went to the table at the vendors fair we were at back in February or that January, the couple who had the table had all these unique, and when they told me to smell each one, they wanted to see what my body responded to, and that one lit me up. And they were like, you need this. Your body's telling you you need that one. Out of all the other ones that you smelled that you said you liked, but your body didn't actually have this reaction we saw in your face. So, let me get another sniffer of that.
Get yourself some Mei Cheng.
Yes.
Mei Cheng.
So, once more again, we're talking about cannabis vapes. There was the vape crisis for so long that we had talked about it has been a little quiet lately. Mm-hmm. Has been a little quiet until now.
And yeah, you ready for this?
Tell us about it, Ms. Okay. Wee Main.
So there are some theories and there are some questions and some doubts and concerns about vapes and metals and things that could be contained within them when you inhale them. They're new. We don't have a lot of research on them. We don't have long-term research on them and the effects that they have on our bodies. So this is really important. And if you vape, please listen to this. Because the concern thus far has been that while you inhale, you may take in metals because of the heating element. Well, they are finding that there are metal particles before there's even heat involved. So it's actually in the concentrate, okay? Crazy. Metal nanoparticles have been found in every cannabis vaping liquid.
Say it one more time.
Have been found in cannabis vaping liquids before they're even heated.
Gotcha.
Okay? Not every cannabis vaping liquid. Sorry. This runs counter to previous research that has suggested the metals released by cannabis electronic cigarettes come from particles emitted when their coils are heated. This new discovery of metal contamination in cannabis vaping liquids that were less than 6 months old and never used suggests that it might have resulted from the production process. The new research, which was a collaboration between the Health Canada Office of Cannabis Science and Surveillance and the National Research Council of Canada's Metrology Research Center, was presented by Andrew Way, who manages the research program. Vapes, also known as e-cigarettes, avoid the combustion reaction that occurs with smoking, which produces harmful byproducts. Instead, the liquid is heated until it vaporizes and can be inhaled, offering consumers a safer way to consume cannabis and nicotine. Well, safer. That should be like, I don't know if safer is the right word. The scientific literature on nicotine vapes indicates the metal components and coils that heat the vape liquid may release potentially harmful metals like nickel, chromium, and lead. To determine whether the same is true for cannabis vapes, Way's team worked with the Metrology Research Center to collect and analyze 41 samples of cannabis vaping liquids, about half of which were legal and regulated, and the others came from the Ontario Police Department. The researchers used mass spectrometry. The researchers used mass spectrometry.
There you go.
To search for 12 metals in these samples. They detected certain metals at very high concentrations, with some of the unregulated samples containing 100 times more lead than the legal samples. That's scary. Far exceeding the generally accepted tolerance limits. They also discovered that many of the particles were nano-sized. The highest lead concentration the team measured in the legal samples was 0.6 parts per million. And in the illegal samples, it was just under 50 parts per million. 50. Canadian guidelines restrict lead to 0.5 parts per million in inhaled drug products. So the legal ones were a bump over, but the illegal ones, bad news. The team also found that concentrations of cobalt, chromium, copper, nickel, and vanadium in several legal and illegal products exceeded commonly applied tolerance limits, in some instances more than 100-fold. Ooh. Other contaminants such as arsenic, mercury, cadmium were within the generally accepted tolerance limits. Hugo Destalitz, an environmental chemist at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, who was not involved in the study, suggests that this information can help scientists better understand which metals come from the cannabis plant, which are introduced in the industrial process, which come from the vaping device itself before its use, and which are produced upon heating of the liquid during use. Hanno Erythropel, an analytical chemist at Yale University's Center for Green Chemistry and Green Engineering, says further research is needed to better evaluate the concentration of these metals in the liquids compared to a user's exposure. Generally, the smaller the particles, the deeper they can get into the lungs upon inhalation. If the particles are indeed nano-sized, that adds a whole other dimension, as nanoparticles are known to often exhibit differential properties than large particles of the same material, he says. Despite the remaining questions, the new research findings indicate the need for greater oversight of e-cigarettes. Uncharacterized risks with cannabis vaping are still being identified, Wei said. So, while there isn't necessarily one way to safely consume these products, this research demonstrates that regulation can help create safer cannabis products overall.
Yeah, you know, when we start talking about a couple of years ago, the vape crisis, and they were talking about the metals, and before they thought it was, you know, the propylene glycol, and then they thought it was the E-acetate and vitamin E oil and pine oil that was probably didn't help either, but then they found out it was the nickel and all the other different metals that were leaching, and now it's already in the liquid. I do not smoke vapes that much anymore, very rare, and the only ones I really try to look for now, if I do want one, has to have the porcelain coil instead, the ceramic coil instead. There's no metal in there at all. So that's
but
what
now
I look
they're
for.
Finding that there's
true.
Yeah. Metal before it even comes in contact.
So that
with
means
heat.
It must be leaching in when they're making it through the CO2 extraction or the butane extraction. I mean, it looks like a chemical, like a science lab, you know? So that could be possible too. It's being, you know, with all the butane. That's why I don't really smoke the butane extraction either. I don't
I'm
like
just,
it.
I don't know. Smoking is bad. I know that. I grew up around smoke, cigars, cigarettes, pipes. That was my life growing up.
Hence why you
hence
have bad
my
lungs.
Wonderful lungs.
Yeah.
you know, like you'd be on road trips for days and the windows are cracked as much.
The worst.
You know,
thanks, Ma.
Smoking.
Ma, 420. Yeah. I can't breathe back
yeah,
here.
Everyone's smoking.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You got to watch my perm, Paul. Gotta watch my perm.
Couldn't mess the hair up. Oh, come on. Like, there was smoking at the dinner table. There was smoking everywhere.
Fucking car was the worst.
But also, like, if you didn't smoke, the way that it used to be when you went anywhere in public, people were smoking. So, I mean, you'd smoke in hospitals. People would smoke in hospitals. People would smoke in airplanes.
Yeah. Oh, airplanes, too.
We grew up around smoke.
Yes.
So, at least we know right? To some degree, the damage that smoking does. So we can make a decision for ourselves if we want to do it, right? Intro, vaping. I think it's scarier than cigarettes.
Because you've been saying that since when I've been vaped. Saying that
because we just don't know, like, flash forward in 20 years, what are all these teenagers' health conditions going to be that have been sucking on these it's just so easy to vape. And I'm talking about nicotine vapes and non-nicotine vapes. Like, there's even kids who just smoke them because they just like the flavor. But what are you doing? You're like trashing your lungs. You have, like, there can't be good that's going to come out of this later.
My lungs didn't feel right at the end there. I mean, where I felt like all I had in my lungs, the phlegm in there from the buildup, and all I tasted was grape.
I just, like, there's oils, right? There's, like, carrier oils. Yeah. Like, oils and lungs don't go together. Like, whatever cleans that oil out of your lungs, it's like, you know, like tar and nicotine. They sit in there and they fester. Like, I just think that there's, and if you sell vapes, I'm sorry. I'm one opinion. I'm sure you'll still have business. You're not going to break the habits that these vapes have created.
I did it for 10 years.
It's worse than smoking because there's no inconvenience about it. You could sit in your bedroom and you're not, nobody, like, mom and dad wouldn't know. Brother and sister wouldn't know. Nobody would know that you're even sitting with
you. You knew when I vaped.
Oh, I knew when you vaped because I knew. But I'm telling you, I'm saying, like, generally, like, someone could be sitting 5 feet away from me and I would not know they're vaping because it doesn't smell. So you see people with these vapes and it's like a pacifier. Like, they never take them away.
I lived it.
Put that damn thing down. Like, at least when you smoked, you had to make a designated
time. I didn't take it up to our bedroom.
No. But at least when the newer habits of smoking where we have to go outside and smoke, we don't smoke in our homes, you know, like, It's a 5 minute, you have to step away for 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
So it's not that convenient. So that's why everyone turned to vaping because you can do it all day long. But now people don't realize that they're, oh my God, I could go on all day.
Let's move on.
I don't know. If you have to vape, I don't know. There's no good vapes out there in my opinion. Sorry.
It's your opinion.
Moving on.
It's your opinion. It's a good opinion. I get it. I like the ceramic coil though. So.
But you can't even see the coil. You tell me that sometimes, like, it's a ceramic. Says who? Like, we can't see it.
True. Well, you see, it's the white. It's white on the outside and then the inside.
You can't always see the coil.
No, you can't. You have to take it apart.
Right.
Yeah. Are they lying to me?
Yeah. I'm sure.
Do you know what, though? Illinois recreational weed market is the most expensive in the Midwest. The average ounce is $296. but it's also not even just most, it's the taxes too that are fucking ridiculous. Like,
well, that's old news. I mean, we know that.
I know, but just adding the taxes on top of that too. I mean, but I understand why it has to be expensive though, because the taxes that everyone's paying into the state, you don't deserve any of it. highest in the Midwest. At least we're good at something, huh?
We're number one in
all the wrong things.
Screwing over the people.
Yeah, 100%. In Pennsylvania, though, if cannabis goes legit recreational, over 5 years, it could do $1 billion in tax. You don't deserve it. DEA's resistance to cannabis rescheduling ignites policy clash. Analysts remain optimistic for reclassification and potential benefits for cannabis industry. Growing discord between White House and DEA over rescheduling of marijuana. Americans reveal surprising opinions on growing pot at home. I'm a home grower. I'm not very good, but I'm a home grower. I'm okay. I love to grow. I love home grow. It's every home grow I get to try, I love it.
I think that you're going to love home grow more when you have more space to grow because you can get more plants.
Yeah,
going.
It's not even just about more plants. It's having the right setup too.
Yeah.
You know, the proper everything I want. It is what it is. I have a good little setup and I grow good weed. I just think I can do a little bit better. I don't want to be the best.
Do
I don't want
better, Mr. Weed Man.
I know. Well, you smoke my weed, so I got to make sure it's great.
I like your weed.
Thank you.
You're
Hawaii House Committee declines hearing for rec weed measures, killing effort for 2024. Great job, Hawaii. I do love everything about Hawaii, though. So it is so beautiful. New Mexico retailers set a new marijuana sales record in March. Good for you. killing it over there in New Mexico. Killing it. DeSantis says Florida voters will reject radical marijuana ballot measure, claiming it would reduce the quality of life. What is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with this guy? Don't you understand, DeSantis, that I grew up in Florida and there was more people smoking weed in Florida than there was people not smoking weed in Florida? Maybe. Yes. A lot of people I knew, about 95% of the people I knew smoked weed in Florida that I knew. A lot. And their quality of life is just fine. They're all outstanding citizens. They all have great jobs. They all work for their money. They pay their taxes. Probably some of them even voted for you. So you're telling me your constituents have a low quality of life. And I bet you 20, 30% of your constituents smoke weed.
I would guess.
Makes me so angry. Small cannabis firms get squeezed as industry falls $3.8 billion behind on bills. $3.8 billion. You know what? You should go to your local government, though, because they made, here in Illinois, $660 million in tax revenue last year. That's on recreational. That's not including medical, because medical cannabis had over $300 million last year. They only get a couple percent dollars, but you could still add another maybe like $20 million on that. So save almost $700 million. You're going to be at $1 billion in tax revenue here one day, and you don't deserve any of it. People cannot pay their bills. I know.
Yeah, but I don't think that the dispensaries necessarily are the ones who should – the whole – sales tax issue with the government is a completely separate topic, I think, from dispensaries being responsible businesses.
Yeah, I mean, but some of them, here's what happens in the industry. Because there's no banking help.
Right.
Right? There's no help on that. Taxes are high. Banking is low or no banking at all. Investments is run dry. You have to, especially when you're starting out, that first year is crucial. Because you're begging for 30-day net terms. And you can't afford COD, so you're taking in maybe a couple $100,000 in product right off the bat when you open. Because you are opening. You got to have a fucking stock store.
But here's the thing. What happened with cannabis? We skipped right over mom and pop and we went to corporate. And true. So now you've got these big operations that cost shit tons of money.
But do you
want
to know what they're doing?
But wait a minute. This is kind of the picture, though, too. Like, you've got big, huge investments because they want to be ready for the big boom, right? They want to be the name that everybody goes to.
True.
They want to expand.
True.
They want to be MSOs.
True.
They want to have it all. So they had to build these big, huge infrastructures, which require a lot of employees and a lot of overhead.
True.
And a lot of cost.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have enough people coming through your door to make this all sustainable.
True.
Right? It has nothing to do with the taxes. Yes, the taxes.
Part of it. It's
yes,
part of
because
it.
The consumers won't spend as much because the taxes are so high, right? Yes.
But the taxes are just high.
I know. And that affects consumers' purchasing power.
True.
Right? But in the big picture of things, if we started this industry with small craft dispensaries and let businesses grow and evolve the way that natural businesses grow and evolve.
Right.
Maybe this big hiccup that they're seeing in corporate cannabis wouldn't be a hiccup because it wouldn't be corporate. It'd be people owning businesses like we should be able to do, but we can't because of all the
government. But even in the smaller businesses too, they front load because they don't have the money. They spent a couple $1 million getting their store open.
But they also have to compete with the big MSOs.
True, but the big MSOs are funding themselves. They're taking the money from one state that's open and making money and they're using it to fund other states.
That's called borrowing from Peter to pay Paul.
I get it. I know. I understand it. But this is happening in the industry altogether.
Eventually, Peter doesn't have any money left.
Right. So that's why instead of the 30-day net terms, some companies can't afford to pay within like maybe 45 days, mm-hmm. 50 or 60 days because they need to
you know what I kind of say? Too bad.
Really?
Well, it's the corporate cannabis.
No, I get
right?
it. It's not only just corporate. It's a little bit of everybody. A little bit of everybody. And then there's some people that pay their bills on time. Right. There's some people that pay every month, 30 days net terms, they pay their bills, 15-day net terms. Some even pay cash on delivery. because they don't want that debt over them. There's some that do well, but $3.8 billion in delinquent payments, which poses an existential threat to many businesses in the sector, according to a new report from Whitney Economics. The report released Tuesday revealed that a total amount of overdue payments equates up to 1.6 months of revenue for the entire industry. Mm-hmm. Many cannabis companies find themselves operating for an entire year with only about 10 months of actual cash flow, making it challenging to stay afloat. If payments are delayed for one business, it can create a ripple effect throughout the supply chain, especially a supply chain that already operates on razor-thin margins, this firm said. The ripple effect, according to the study, cannabis cultivation companies are the most severely impacted by late payments. Large corporations and multi-state operators account for a significant portion of the $1.4 billion on delinquent payments. I know. I'm with you. The research also points out the retail dispensaries wield considerable power and are more likely to be late payers, while cultivators and small businesses bear the brunt of the consequences when payments are delayed. Mm-hmm. This is disproportionately impacting smaller and minority-owned businesses and in many cases resulting in forced market consolidation and individual wealth destruction, the report said. Whitney said the delinquencies greater than 45 days – I just said that, didn't I? 45 days account for 56.3% of the total delinquencies. Over half the industry. According to respondent data, wholesale and distribution companies are stuck in the middle, getting squeezed by late payments on both sides. They often don't pay growers until retailers pay them. Slim margins, expensive quick loans make this a juggling act even harder. Our lingering accounts payable is a direct result of our open accounts receivable, one distributor said. We pay obscene interest rates on capital to fund our customers' inventory and expansions. What did I say? Some distributors work on consignment, meaning they only pay suppliers after products sell. I've heard that a lot, like consignment. You know, some dispensaries will only take you in if you only give them that. That's rough. That motivates them to delay payments as long as possible, avoid trying up their cash. It could take 4 months sometimes, depending on how much inventory they hold, how many different brands they carry. For me, if someone said that, then I'm like, I'm the only edible you carry. Mm-hmm. Or you should only be allowed to carry 5 edibles lines or 5 flower lines, or you know what I'm saying? Because you got to move that product, and that's bullshit. And that, you know, that product was bad too. It's been sitting on the shelf for a while. Our lingering accounts payable is a direct result of open accounts receivable, one distributor said. We pay obscene interest rates and capital to fund our customers' inventory and expansion. Some distributors work on consignment, like I said. Meanwhile, processors are trying to collect from retailers and distributors. Receivables are probably the biggest challenges we face. Yes, I know for a fact. Ask me one day when I'm no longer doing this and I'm retired. I will tell you everything. The combination of a few retailers having lines of credit to buy inventory coupled with high cost of labor for on-site cash pickups, especially when payments isn't ready, makes for a perfect storm in the receivable world. Cannabis businesses often face very high interest rates for loans, usually between 25 and 33%, on top of the taxes you got to pay, on top of this that you got to pay, on top of that that you got to pay. To save money and avoid borrowing more of these steep rates, they're incentivized to postpone payments, what they owe to other companies, for as long as possible. However, the practice contributes to a broader issue plaguing the industry. Haven't I said forever this industry is fucked, and they fucked it up so bad? I've said to you,
we should be ashamed. Why couldn't we start small and grow?
Because everybody thought this was going to be the biggest cash cow, and this is why the traditional market will always win.
Yeah,
they still will never get it. Corporate. I'm glad. What did I say? I said it probably episode 25.
Right.
I like the traditional market better.
Mm-hmm.
It's ethical. Mm-hmm. It's fair play. Everybody knows their place. And if you don't like somebody, you don't associate with that person.
Right.
It's fair market. Nobody gets pissed at one another. And if you do, then you shouldn't be in this industry at all. Mm-hmm. In the underground and traditional market. We went to an event. We did a vendor event on Saturday. Everybody played fair. Everybody was nice to one another. Everybody talked highly to one another. Everybody pointed everybody out. Oh, that dude's got that great fire. This dude's got this great fire. That dude's got this great fire. And everybody's helping each other out. Shaking hands, kissing babies, and giving hugs. Maybe it's the edibles we hand out at the beginning. I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. Community.
Right. This is an absolute joke. It's a fucking tragedy that you multi-bazillionaires who've gotten into this industry can't figure it out because you thought corporate world was the way to do it. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. You're absolutely fucking wrong. Family-owned businesses in this industry would have succeeded way, and some of them are. before you corporate know-hows or not so much know-hows think this industry works. You will never understand it. It's been around for 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years underground, and it still works the same way today. And people make money at it underground.
And people pay cash up front yes. for the product.
Yes.
Nobody goes with an empty hand.
Yes.
You get your weed, you get your money. Boom, boom.
Simple. Y'all fucked it up because you took what the corporate world taught you and you were wrong. All you high business MBAs that thought you knew what the fuck you were doing, I will run circles around your fucking asses and teach you all how to make money. And you can come to my studio and try to fight me on that. And Mrs. Weedman will sit you down and fucking show you a thing or two or three.
I think I just drooled.
I'm on a rant, and I'm glad because I've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and we're going into our 200th episode, and I don't give a fuck no more.
I have a big opinion about it. Oh. You have a big opinion about it. A lot of people have a big opinion about it.
Put me on a fucking...
We know people on both sides of the story. We know people who have dispensaries. Yep. We know people who are traditional market. We're not knocking anybody. Nope. All we're saying is that shit's got to change. You can't do business this way. It's just, obviously, what are we... A few years
We're a bunch of suckers on the government. Actually, take it over too. We're fucking suckers.
We went recreational in 2020.
Yep.
And it's
been a clusterfuck.
Beginning of 2024, and it's falling apart.
Ugh, it's brutal.
Huge operations are shutting down.
Yeah, it's brutal.
People aren't paying their bills. Da 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 da.
Ugh.
Yeah.
High Times shuts down pot shops as California pot market struggles. Even High Times, with their name, who's got one of the oldest running magazines in cannabis. Phenomenal writers. Phenomenal. The High Times Cup every year. Every state's doing them now. Phenomenal. And they couldn't get their dispensaries to work. Hmm. New York court strike down marijuana marketing rules. Good. Let the bodegas take it over. Iowa lawmakers send governor bill to restrict consumable hemp products. Get ready. There's going to be more states doing it. Get ready. With medical marijuana licensing expansion also advancing. Schumer says passing marijuana banking bill is part of the Senate's busy agenda. Yeah, go fuck yourself. You've been saying that for 4 years now. I've been talking about it, and you haven't done nothing. San Francisco, first ever weed week to celebrate cannabis culture. Cool. Good for you, San Francisco. That one I talked about last week, though, they didn't get the funding for it. The Hippie Hill thing can't do it on 420, so should all just came together and did it and led into that. Helped everybody out. House committee schedules hearing with FDA head to talk hemp regulations and other issues next week. We'll see. The verdict is in. The verdict is in. Is legalizing weed working? Is legalizing weed working, Mrs. Weedman?
Mr. Weedman is wound up.
It's that tangy.
Oh, you smoked.
I smoked a sativa.
See?
CC shoo shoo.
That man can only have little bits of sativa.
Thanks, Bob.
The verdict is in. Legalizing weed works. We'll see. 12 years into state's marijuana legalization experiment, public support for making marijuana legal nationwide has never been higher. It's been over a decade since Colorado and Washington became the first two states to legalize marijuana for adults. With the benefit of hindsight, it's fair to ask, has this policy been successful? Absolutely. A policy of legalization, regulation, and education is preferable to a policy of criminalization, stigmatization, and incarceration. Let's be clear. Legalization didn't create or normalize the cannabis market in the United States. The market was already here. But under a policy of prohibition, this market flourished underground, and those involved in it remained largely unaccountable. They didn't pay taxes, they didn't check IDs, and they didn't test the purity of their products. Disputes that arose in the illicit marketplace were not handled in courts of law. By contrast, under regulation, cannabis products in many states are now available from licensed manufacturers at retail stores. Cannabis is cultivated, and products are manufactured in accordance with good manufacturing practices. Products are lab tested and labeled accordingly, and sales are taxed, with revenues being reinvested into communities. Since 2014, retail sales of adult-use cannabis products have generated more than $15 billion in tax revenue.
You don't deserve it.
Most importantly, millions of Americans, many of them young adults, are no longer being arrested for possessing a substance that is objectively safer than both tobacco or alcohol. According to data compiled by the FBI, the annual number of marijuana-related arrests in the United States fell from 750,000 in 2012 to 227,000 in 2022.
Shouldn't even be that.
I know. The last year for which data is available. In short, these state-level policy changes over the past decade have resulted in countless Americans being spared criminal records and the lost opportunities that accompany them. And contrary to opponents' fears, cannabis use by teens has not risen in parallel with legalization. According to data provided by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the percentage of high schoolers who use cannabis actually fell 30% over the past decade. Compliance check data from California, Colorado, Nevada, and other legal states show that licensed cannabis retailers do not sell products to underage patrons. Also, contrary to some critics' claims, legalized states have not experienced any spike in either psychosis or mental illnesses. According to findings published late last year in the Journal of American Medical Association, rates of psychosis-related healthcare claims are no higher in jurisdictions where cannabis is legal than in those where it is not. Important, because they used to say it. Crazy drug makes you crazy.
Reefer madness.
Reefer madness. You're gonna go nuts. Yeah, no. Stanford University researchers similarly reported last year that residents of states where cannabis is legal exhibit no higher levels of psychosis than those in non-legal states. Legalization is also disrupting the illicit marketplace. According to a 2023 survey, 52% of consumers residing in legal states said they primarily sourced their cannabis products from brick and mortar establishments.
Yeah, by someone's house.
Yeah. By contrast, only 6% of respondents said that they primarily purchased cannabis from a dealer, because who's going to say that? Many consumers in non-legal states also reported that they frequently traveled to neighboring legal states to purchase cannabis products rather than buying from illicit dealers in their own state. 12 years into states' cannabis legalization experiment, public support for making it legal nationwide has never been higher. Of the 24 legalized states, none have ever repealed their legalization laws. That's because these policies are working largely as voters and politicians intended, and because they're preferable to cannabis criminalization. After a century of failed policies and cannabigotry, the verdict is in. Legalization is a success, and the end of cannabis prohibition can't come soon enough. 87 years of twisted politics and discrimination. Enough is enough. Give the people their weed.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
87 years.
87 years.
So everything we've just talked about in this last 40 minutes, everything we just brought up on in the last 5 years that we've been doing this show, how do you think this – I gave you this article for a reason after I read it. I'm like, this would be good to end before we go into international news and culture. That do you think this article is accurate?
Is it accurate?
Meaning what he's writing about, do you think really is it working? Is legalizing weed works in what he wrote? There were some good points in here.
Yeah, he has good points.
There's some good points, yeah. But there's also some points in here just like, meh, meh.
Well, no, because meh. There's still federal regulation. There's still states that surround maybe the state you live in, or maybe you live in a state that's not a legalized state. So it's not a fair playing ground for everybody. So it's not perfect yet.
Right.
It's we just talked about it. It's a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a process.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that have worked that he wrote in this article. I will say that. But there's some things that he talked about where it's just like, I don't know where you're following. I don't know what you're saying. you know? But
we are also.
It's a well-written article.
Yeah.
It has some great points in there. I'm not knocking. I see things a little differently.
But we're also, to my point, that we are also working within this whole cannabis space. So it's a very comfortable space for us, and we know a lot about it. But if you were just your Aunt Debbie and you never went to a dispensary. The last time you had weed was high school, and now you're in your 50s and you want weed and you don't even know what to do.
Right.
You're not going to ask your neighbor who their dealer is. You're right. You're
going to go to a dispensary now if you have a legal dispensary or even a medical dispensary that you get a card for.
So it's helping some people reestablish their connection or their desire to have cannabis.
I think that's great.
Right?
Yes. I think it's amazing.
And then maybe when they get out of that space and maybe get more comfortable in it and they end up at an event like we went to, then they realize there's better product.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's true. Once they distinguish and they get they're finding out what, and they get educated,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not knocking that article. It was very well done. I'm just saying stuff that we see is a little different than what was in that article.
Yes.
So,
but again, we see a lot more than the average bear.
International news: medical cannabis could soon get the green light in France after unprecedented trial. All right, France. Austria stepping up police checks in border areas after Germany liberalizes cannabis rules. Come on. In this day and age, you really thought if Germany did it, everybody would follow suit pretty quick. We'll see. Zimbabwe farmers swap corn for hemp farming. Sweet. Grow that hemp. Get that soil back. We have a clothing line,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a very nice clothing line. If you've bought something from Eight Decades or Weedman 420 Chronicles clothing from us, especially the hemp sweatshirt, you're missing out. It is so soft. Yeah. Tell us about Young Maven and their collection. Tell them about your clothing line, though, and why you went with Young Maven.
We talked a little earlier about our packaging, and when we decided to have clothing as part of our brand, it wasn't so much that we wanted to – nothing that we're doing is trying to, like, recreate the wheel. We're just trying to make modern versions of things and bring things to light that need to be brought to light, like how to store your weed, how to roll your weed, da-da-da-da-da. And so hemp clothing, to me, was important because – we don't have enough hemp textiles here. We still have to outsource to foreign countries to get hemp textiles to make clothing. So there's very few clothing manufacturers that make fashionable hemp clothing that feels good. So when I found Young Maven out of Washington, I was thrilled. I would consider them style-wise kind of brand-wise, like your L.L. Bean, like really high-quality, well-made products made here in the U.S. that, like, you have them forever, right? Like, it's your staple piece, the piece you buy and you spend a little money on. But then the styling would be like Urban Outfitters a little bit, like definitely modern and young. So Young Maven brought out a spring collection to help encourage, they went into like the 80s trends and they are encouraging people to understand that hemp clothing can be good.
I like the 80s collection. It's kind of nice. Yeah.
So Young Maven is super cool. They're doing great things. I love the brand. So that is what we carry in Eight Decades. The clothing that we have is organic cotton blended with hemp, and it makes a really nice fabric.
Is there one that's all hemp though?
And we have 100% hemp and it feels like raw silk. It's pretty amazing. So sexy and sustainable are rarely used in the same sentence, but Young Maven wants to change that. Hemp textiles are more durable than traditional fabrics like cotton, but have long lacked the style and grace of other designs. Unfortunately, for years, hemp fabrics were also itchy and thick. Thankfully, these fashions have come a long way, thanks in part to Young Maven owner and founder, Rob Youngman. The textile innovator has been developing wearable hemp products since the 90s, and the newly released Spring-Summer Gemini collection flourishes with style. Recently, Youngman broke down their vision for Green State. The Young Maven Gemini collection blends rugged hemp textures with vibrant fluorescent 80s fashion in a way that exceeded our expectations. It's a significant evolution that we believe harmonizes seamlessly for the first time, Youngman shared. The earthen vibes aren't the first thing someone pictures when thinking back to the neon and pattern-heavy 1980s, but certain pieces cement the vision together. The latest activewear has touch points like the bright green limelight and dark matcha colorways that scream vibrant forest fairy. The durable falcon vest and tamarack jacket call back to the 80s trend of pairing military clothes and gear with bright, unbound fashion moments. The limited run prints also stand out. Many are printed on the young tee, made from a special combination of hemp and organic cotton, designs featuring floating clouds and repetitive peace signs, among others. Rob Youngman stays open to inspiration at any moment to create hemp fashion that both align with the company vision and push the envelope. I find inspiration in the everyday moments of life, Youngman explained. Whether it's a Gustav Klimt painting inspiring our wild eyes print, or snapping a photo of someone's outfit at the dog park to design the Alma short overalls coming out this summer, inspiration often strikes unexpectedly. It's about being prepared, writing it down whenever it comes to you. Though new textile blends, prints, and cuts make their way into the Young Maven collection, the pieces are bound to a common theme: earthy tones, utilitarian touch points like ample pocket space, hardy hardware, and psychedelic prints weave the Gemini line together. This cohesion is the sign of a vision. If you ask Youngman, this is only possible by not staying pinned to any one idea of the brand. When I launched Young Maven, it was with a simple goal: to offer hemp t-shirts as a canvas for self-expression, moving away from conventional cotton. So why should we deprive ourselves of the joy of our own creativity? Each piece in their spring line showcases this sentiment. The luxury line pushes the boundaries of fashion neutrals and changes how the world sees hemp clothing. As this sustainable textile evolves, it will likely be showcased on more runways to come. Yes, definitely check them out.
It's a great product. I have a lot of their clothing. Mm-hmm. The stuff that you've given me, mm-hmm. I love wearing it, especially my hoodie.
Yeah.
That hoodie is fantastic. I wear that out to every event we go to. I probably wear that more than I wear anything else mm-hmm. outside the house. And then I wear...
Well, we don't sell the hoodie.
No, but it's a phenomenal hoodie.
But I got
if you want to buy the hoodie...
Yeah, we can. We can.
If you want to order it, check it out. It's not cheap.
It's a zip-up hoodie.
But I wanted it because I wear it, and it's so comfortable. But then also the hemp shirt that you gave me, and then the Weedman 420 shirt, the organic cotton one is fantastic.
That's not Young Maven.
No, I know, but it's so nice. You got it for me.
Yes.
So, but I mean, it's comfortable. It's comfortable and it's worth it. You know me, I don't shop that much. I like stuff that lasts. I mean, I have shirts that I spend a little bit more money on because they last, and I don't like to shop. I like clothes. I have Mrs. Weedman's my stylist, basically. I don't shop. I'm partially colorblind. I don't really see patterns very well.
You just don't like to shop.
And I don't like to shop. I fucking hate it. I just tell Ms. Weedman, you know the jeans I like? Just if you go to Nordstrom Rack, just get me a pair of those jeans. It's great. You know, I know my size. It hasn't changed in fucking 15 years, right? So, I mean, my waist size hasn't changed in 15 years, so I'm good. You know, just keep on buying the same style of pants. And you actually got me out of blue jeans. I have wore blue jeans in 6 months. I've been wearing gray and black, and I fucking absolutely love it. Mm.
They're
what a difference.
Yeah, so pretty amazing.
Good. I used to love wearing black jeans, and now that was like 15 years ago. Now I'm back in. I like, oh, so nice. You like music, right?
No.
You like it. It's been, I think a better music lover than I am. I think you listen to music. I just dance to my beat and my own drum everywhere I go. So I don't know, you know, but you are a music buff. You like your music. Back when Mr. Wee Man met Mrs. Wee Man, she had a Mitsubishi Eclipse. She was hot shit. And hot shit, badass. Fucking drove stick. My wife drove stick, badass. And she had this fucking badass Mitsubishi Eclipse. And she would fucking...
My trunk was literally like a...
music fucking...
CD music. Like, extravaganza. I had... like CD catalogs. I had a phone in my car. It was corded.
And you would be able to do
you
your makeup.
You'd only call me if it was in my
you'd
phone.
You'd be able to do your makeup, change stick a CD, could, and smoke a cigarette.
Smoke? No, I had a multi-disc player. I put a pop-out stereo in, so when I went to work, I'd take my stereo with me. I had a special bag for it. And then I had all of my magazines of CDs. So I'd put my, usually I'd put my like five CDs in for wherever I was going.
Right.
Five at a time. I'd be smoking, driving, and making calls.
You had a badass. That car was badass.
I never put makeup on while I drove.
That car was badass.
I had
that
other
car,
things to
that
do.
That car was badass.
And then I would challenge myself to see how few minutes it would take me to get 15 miles to work. I could get there really fast.
You like to drive fast.
I was fast.
You like to drive fast. So here's 15 songs that you probably heard of and probably listened to in your car while you're driving to work. Ready? Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, The Experience. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Beatles.
Not at that time.
Nope. Now you probably listen to it.
That's not my favorite for the Beatles.
It's not. I'm just saying favorite. Yeah. I'm just saying songs, psychedelic, fun, weed songs that you would probably have listened to or will listen to. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. I love that song. I could listen to that right now. Inagata De Vida by Iron Butterfly.
Yes.
But this is psychedelic.
Trippy music.
Trippy, stone, like real heavy, like stoned music, you know? So I don't know if I could listen to the whole 11 minutes, though, of that song. I like the half version. Strawberry Fields Forever by the Beatles.
Yes.
Light My Fire by the Doors.
Yes.
Third Stone from the Sun by Jimi Hendrix. Probably not. Yeah. Somebody to Love by Jefferson Airplane. Tomorrow Never Knows by the Beatles.
No.
Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. Mm. 8 Miles High by the Birds.
No.
Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix.
Sure.
Incense and Peppermints by Strawberry Alarm Clock.
I don't even know
who that is. I figured you wouldn't. Dear Mr. Fantasy by The Traffic.
I don't know. Maybe if I heard it.
Riders on the Storm by The Doors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the list.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll put a little Spotify thing together and listen to it.
So, Ms. Weed Man.
Mr. Weed Man.
That's the end of show 199.
That went fast.
I know. Fast and fun and furious, that's for sure. I'd like to thank North for throwing us some drinks. I also like to thank Bob's Exotics for the sour tangy. Got me stoned. Thank you. Appreciate you. Anything else before we go?
No. I'm short and sweet today. I don't have a lot to say.
No?
Although I did have a lot to say earlier.
So you're good.
In this moment right now, I think I'm good.
All right, everybody out there in the world, we love you. Appreciate you listening. Peace be with you all. As Paulie always says, smoke smart. Puff, puff, and away.
Puff, puff, pass.
Check out our cannabis lifestyle brand online at 8decades.com. Our custom smokes and accessories are perfect for your coffee table, bedroom nightstand, or kitchen counter. They're designed for you to show them off. The Canna community is also loving our hemp and cotton blend t-shirts, sweatshirts, scarves, and hats, finished off with our 8decades logo. We've got some awesome long-lasting goods that will be your favorite for years to come. 8decades, because a ninth decade of cannabis prohibition isn't acceptable.